Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast. My name is Ryk van die Kerk, and in this series of podcasts, I speak to the leading South African financial advisors, and we talk about the industry, their personal investment philosophies, how they deal with their clients, and their views on fees and regulations. My guest today is Wouter Fourie. He is from the Pretoria-based firm Aska Independent Wealth Managers. Wouter, welcome to the show. You've recently been awarded the prestigious title as the Financial Planning Institute Certified Financial Planner of the Year, and this award honors the most efficient professional planner in South Africa. Congratulations on the award. What do you need to be the most proficient financial advisor?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and also to share with you. Yeah, it actually takes a lot. It's very tough and thorough competition that you actually need to enter to be awarded the Financial Planner of the Year. And the competition then entails three different rounds that you need to go through. So the first round is where they provide you with a case study, and you've got to submit a written report of a financial plan. This plan is then marked by four academic specialists from different universities across the country. And then from the first round, the top seven financial planners then goes through to round number two. And number two is the tough one. They come to your practice. There's four different judges that visit your practice, somebody from Financial Services Board, somebody from the Financial Planning Institute of South Africa, then also a practice management specialist, and then also a external compliance officer. And they spend a day or two with you in your practice, going through your processes, looking at your client interaction, looking at your compliance, looking at your contingency plans, even as far as checking the fire extinguisher that's been serviced on a regular basis. And then from this audit, they choose the top three financial planners. And the top three then goes through to a final interview in front of four judges at the Financial Planning Institute's head office. And they present you with 12 questions on anything related to our specific field of expertise. It's very tough, and then the top advisor is chosen from the three rounds, and they awarded the Financial Planner of the Year, and also the brand ambassador for the CFP mark, the Certified Financial Planner mark.
We at MoneyWeb, we get requests for information from normal South Africans, sometimes very affluent South Africans, on a daily basis, asking the question, how do I pick, number one, a financial planner? And more importantly, how do I find a good financial planner? If you approach a financial planner in your early, late 20s, early 30s, when you need to start saving for your retirement, the lifestyle could be a lot different depending on the quality and the skill of your financial advisor.
That's so true, and it's a very important choice to make. If you look at the recommendations set by the International Financial Standards Board, they do recommend that you approach a certified financial planner. Now, just to put this in context, a certified financial planner is somebody who's written a postgraduate qualification through one of the recognized universities in South Africa, and then also needs to pass a board exam presented by the Financial Planning Institute of South Africa. And that means that you are qualified similar to the chartered accountant in auditing. You will be a CFP professional in financial planning. And to find a CFP professional, you can go to the FPI website where they list the CFPs in South Africa. Also interesting, in South Africa, we see that you need to be registered with a Financial Services Board to present financial planning. And presently, we've got about 140,000 people who are registered with the Financial Services Board, but only about 4,800 of those are certified financial planners.
But isn't it not like accountants or lawyers even? You know, you may have the certification, but some are better than others. How do you pick the best ones in the financial field or the financial advice field?
I think it's important to speak to friends and family members and ask people for referrals, because that's usually the trade that you can present, and also to distinguish somebody else from being a good or just a salesman and presenting sales advice instead of financial planning advice.
You have been in the business for nearly two decades. Is it more difficult to give financial advice today than, say, 20 years ago?
I actually think it's easier to do it. I think legislation is tougher. That's a reality. But I think in terms of technology and software and the processes and et cetera that we've got to our disposal, and also to utilize in terms of calculations, et cetera, it should actually become easier, and it's more thorough than I think 20 years ago, because 20 years ago, Most of the guys just did a calculation on the back of their cigarette pack, and that was financial planning. Today, it's a different ballgame. But I think technology can actually assist you in presenting a better plan and more accurate financial planning structures.
Well, the other side of that argument is that the industry is overregulated and that financial advisors follow a tick box approach just to comply. Does it really benefit the client in that sense?
There are advisors who choose to follow a tick box approach, and I think those are the guys that you need to avoid. If you're presented with financial advice, you need to be able to understand it, and you need to also to see that it actually adds value to your life and your lifestyle. Very difficult for somebody to be in this industry without complying to tough legislation, but our approach in our business is to embrace legislation. Make it part of your service offering, embrace it in your business structures, and you will actually benefit from it because you'll have a better business at the end of the day.
Many clients look at advisors, and one of the first things they look at is the fee or the fees they charge. What is your position regarding fees for financial advisors?
First of all, we are an independent wealth management business, and we charge a professional fee for our services. And this is done in consultation with a client and explained and quoted in writing. And it's always challenging to keep the balance between good value proposition and to be paid for quality advice and service. We believe it's better to pay for quality advice and good service rather than to get free or cheap advice and service that do not pass the muster. It's always important to ask the question, how does people stay alive if they give you advice for free? And the old saying of you pay peanuts, you get monkeys is definitely a reality in terms of financial planning.
What are your fees?
Our fees are based on the complexity of the specific plan that we need to present, and also on the qualifications and the experience of the specific advisor that addresses this plan. So also what we try and do is we try and break the plans into three categories. So we have a standard plan, we've got a complex, and then a very complex plan. And the difference between the three would be a normal plan would be somebody that's employed, they earn a salary, they have one last will and testament, they've got a few assets. Where compared to somebody with a complex structure, you will have somebody that's a business owner with a trust, multiple companies, multiple assets, local and offshore.
Voter, in your experience, how informed are prospective investors or prospective clients of fees and costs? Is it such a big issue as many in the media or some advisors make it out to be?
I think it's very important to talk about fees. It's also part of our approach when we speak to clients is to address the structure of fees and then also to explain that there are different fee levels that need to be paid at different stages. So I think fees are very important to discuss from the word go, and also that fees need to add value to your process.
Wouter, let's talk about investments. What is your investment philosophy?
Our approach is it's all about the clients. Our philosophy begins and ends with the client's goals and objectives and our client's lifestyle, and not a prescribed checklist that you refer to determines the asset allocation. My approach is to keep it simple and to make sure the clients understand and know what they are investing in. And this is where I believe the professional financial planner has a very important role to play. My passion is to enable clients to make an informed decision through advice based on experience, sound knowledge, and in-depth analysis of relevant options. I follow two simple rules when I do financial planning and investments. Rule number one, never lose a client's money. And rule number two, never forget rule number one. In offering our services to clients, we have the benefit of also being independent. And being independent means that we are not forced by one-sided incentive structures or employed by a product provider to sell their specific products or investments. Being independent also helps us to always put the interest of the clients first in everything that we do. We make sure that our clients sleep well at night because they know they are being cared for by a great team of professionals.
It's easy to say never lose a client's money. I think everybody strives to do that, but it happens. You invest in a certain share. What we saw in the UK recently, where the Brexit vote just saw a lot of South African-based investments plummet in value. How do you communicate with clients or interact with clients to make sure that they understand that this is reality?
I think the basis of any investment approach is to have a well-diversified portfolio, number one. And also number two is not to react to market fluctuations. Because taking the UK as a good example, a lot of those reactions were driven by market sentiment. A company that's worth 1 billion rand today can't be worth half the amount tomorrow. And a lot of times you just need to have time in the market and not trying to time the market, to sell at the bottom and to try and buy at the top. So very important to have a very well diversified portfolio and then also not to react on market fluctuations.
Do you get many clients who interact with you when they is political noise in the air? Currently in South Africa, we see a lot of, you know, political instability. The market reacts, especially the exchange rate. How often would a client phone you and say, listen, voter, the rand has just depreciated significantly or appreciated significantly. How does it affect my portfolio?
I think that's one of the successes of our approach with our clients is the first few consultations we have with a client, we actually spend time educating the clients in terms of how to react in those specific situations. And also to realize that a lot of those situations actually provide us with opportunity to make money for our clients. Because when do you buy shares? When there's blood on the streets. And that's very important. And what I find is even if there's market pullbacks or fluctuations, I don't receive calls from our clients every day because they're concerned about it. Because they know they've got a well-structured plan, they understand the markets, and they also understand that we make use of those opportunities to add value to their portfolios.
Wouter, let's talk about asset managers. There are many asset managers in South Africa, big ones and small ones. Who are the ones you really trust with your clients' money?
That's a dangerous question to ask because it can change as well. So who's the top fund manager at the moment might not be the top fund manager tomorrow. But once again, our approach is not to switch in and out of funds and portfolios. So what we do as a company is we've got an external company that does all our fund analysis for us because we do realize that we are financial planners. We don't have time to analyze 1,400 funds every day. So we appoint professionals to do that on our behalf. And with their assistance, we build structured portfolios to assist our clients to get to their long-term goals.
But who are these companies you would direct the majority of the money to?
Okay, so what we do is our approach is we look at companies with assets under management of more than 250 million in their portfolios. We also go through a structure that we look at the quantitative as well as qualitative analysis that we do on these portfolios. And yes, we do prefer using the well-known brands, the bigger companies. We don't, as I explained previously, we don't want to lose money of our clients. So we stick to the big guns and we make sure that we know exactly who manages their funds and also understand their philosophy in terms of their portfolio structures.
Let's talk about other asset classes. Currently, the cash market seems to be one of the preferred asset classes, the money market. What is your perspective on the money market? And if a client really, you know, is really serious about you must put their money into a money market account, or which type of funds would you look at?
You'll always find that money market funds are attractive on the short-term periods, especially in fluctuating markets as we have it at present. But just remember that a money market only provides you with a stable income over short periods. If you look at money markets and you look at a longer period, you've got to diversify your portfolio. Because a money market will provide you with a return of 1.5% above inflation. And in real terms, over the long term, if you deduct your tax liabilities from that, you're actually not making money with a money market. So it's a good place to park your money for short term. And also when we do build investment structures and portfolio, you will also use the money market for a shorter period of your investment. But if you look at longer term investment periods, you need to diversify into other asset classes.
Property. South Africans are in love with property, especially residential property and the buy-to-let market. Do you think that should form part of a diversified investment portfolio?
Well, I've got to be honest. I've made some good gains myself out of property, especially in the property boom period that we had. I don't think that residential property is a very attractive asset class at the moment. I prefer listed properties myself as well as commercial properties. Do you need a property in your portfolio? I think it's a basic necessity for everybody to own, to have ownership of property. And I would recommend that people invest in their primary residence, but I would not exceed exposure to too many residential properties. I don't think there's a lot of value at present in residential properties.
Yeah, I also think there's a lot of risk which people don't really take into account in residential properties. Just lastly, what are your views on the exchange rate and whether people should take money offshore at the current exchange rate?
That's probably the most difficult target to focus on is the exchange rate. But we need to look at the history and we need to look at the long-term perspective. And if we look at the history, excluding last year's spikes that we saw in the exchange rate, the rand weakens against the dollar at an average of about 7% per year. And even if you do long-term planning for holidays and et cetera, we advise clients to always bring into their calculation a 7% decline in the rand. Do you need offshore exposure in your portfolio? Yes, we totally support that.
Why 7%?
That's the average over the period.
Usually
it calculates.
The theory is the difference between the inflation rates of, typically the rand and the U.S., and that is of South Africa and the U.S., and that's not currently at 7%.
Not currently, but if you look long-term, it plays out to 7%. Mm-hmm. If you look at a 10-year period, it plays out to 7%.
So you would advise, take that into account, don't try and time the market.
Yes, totally do. And also if you take offshore, the idea is not to once again, to time the market, to go out, bring back. The reality is we need to diversify our investments. Offshore gives us a lot of opportunities that we don't have locally. And I also think it gives you growth opportunities across a broader spectrum of currencies as well as industries. We don't have a Microsoft in South Africa. We don't have an Apple in South Africa. That gives you the opportunity to invest in those global companies.
That's my next question is, yes, you make the decision, yes, I want to take money offshore. What do you invest in? Because the investment environment north of the Limpopo is dramatically different to what we have south of the Limpopo.
That's very true. And that's why you need professional advice when you look at structuring these portfolios. Presently, my personal choice would be to move offshore and also to use a money market type of investment at present, and also to stick to the big guns in the industry.
There are money market in South Africa?
No, offshore.
But those yields are at all-time lows?
At the moment, just to give you a stable investment portfolio to work from, as we said, money markets currently local as well as offshore is probably your safer place to be in. But if you're looking at longer term, then you need to move into shares in offshore portfolios.
Just your advice now is to, if you'd go offshore, have a combination of money market and equity investments.
Yes. Let me just clarify that. When you move into an investment, you've got a choice to go full into an investment, or you can expose yourself into the investment over a specific period. So if you've got a lump sum at the moment, I would park it in a money market and I would slowly transition out of that into shares, just to give you that stable growth into the portfolio. So I wouldn't park it there for 10 years. That's the wrong thing to do, but just to give you the transition into the portfolios.
Thank you, Wouter. That was Wouter Fourie of the Pretoria-based firm Asker Independent Wealth Managers.